And Brenda, I just have to say, I really loved your chat. I had a moment of, you mean someone might not have tightness? That was great. Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah, I'm always like, huh, which tightness should I choose today? Like,
me too, right? Exactly. There's several, right? Ooh, that was harsh. I don't like that. Let's stop it. All right. So how's Kelsey? She's having breakfast. There you go. Now you can eat, right?
Yep, absolutely. I finally shifted into like, hell yeah, you did that. Okay. You know, the celebration moment.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. And I do want to make sure to say, because I know our human minds and I know how we are, and I know we're going to sit there, especially the person who did the same one as us, going, oh no, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, right? And what I really want, this is the moment that yours is to say, I did it my way. I did me. And I did where I am in my world, in my life right now. And that's what we want. We don't want 10 Kelseys, 10 Aprils, 10 Lauras, 10 Kathleens, right? 10 Agnieszkas, 10 Brendas. We don't want 10 Ramones or 10 Lisas or 10 Steves. We want you. We want you. Okay. Because the way life works is your voice, your cadence, the way you are in your world, whether you're a teacher or not, that is that what you bring to a meditation that you're leading or guiding, or even just in the presence of somebody, they're going through something and you're bringing some of your meditative awareness to it. The way the universe works is that universe wants you there. If it's Laura there with Bella, the universe wants Laura there with Bella, not Kelsey. Okay? And so this is a major piece for us as teachers is to own us and not compare. The comparison is it's seductive, it's tempting, it's what our whole culture is based on. Right? Always comparing. We compare our bodies. We compare our cars. We compare our houses. We compare our, you know, whatever gadgets we have in the kitchen. You know, we compare. And this is, so just know that this is normal. There's nothing wrong with you. Everybody does this. And then you get to go, okay, and I'm going to do me. What is it? Who started that phrase? You do you. You know, it's like, Do you? Okay. So any questions or comments on that before we move along here?
I've noticed how much I need those reminders. So I appreciate that you say that because it's so easy to go right back into that. It's so easy to fall into that trap, that groove of, you know, I don't know that I'll ever be good enough. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can, you know, how can they do it? Why can't I do that? It's just, like you said, it's like society, our culture teaches that. It's like, it's deep. Mm-hmm. And so it's like those reminders every once in a while just really help to say, oh, that's right. I can let that go. And then it'll come back and I'll have to let it go again and again and again. Yeah.
So what do you tell yourselves? How do you deal with this, what we call, you all know Mary Beth, I think, you know, worshiping the God of comparison, you know, and she, we were in a it's called a mastermind group, but it's kind of like a prayer group for 12 years together, over 12 years. And one of her things was, I just got to stop worshiping at the feet of the God of comparison. And she had this hat. She would just, I'm stopping worshiping at the God of comparison, you know, and that's what she would just, it was a lighthearted way. But what do you tell yourself? What do you do to help you be you when the comparison, and it's inevitable. It's a sibling. It's a cousin. It's a coworker. It's a neighbor. It's, you know, there's always, you know, what have you learned to help yourself move through? You notice I said through.
Go ahead, Laura.
You're still muted. You're still muted, Laura.
Sorry, I pressed the wrong button and opened my whole downloads folder. And all of you disappeared. But I was going to say, I just try to move through as quickly as possible.
How? What do you say to yourself, or what do you do to help you move through that?
I just like take a big breath and then just like focus on something different. But I am really curious to hear what other people do, because just running through it really quick probably isn't the best way to get through it.
I feel like this is something I've been working through my entire life, always comparing on the outside, and I had to be something else, right? And so for me, it wasn't until takes a while, but right now is when I go back, all those things I was comparing, shit, can you hear me?
You're back. Yes.
Okay. When I was comparing myself to those people, and then I look back and find out things that happened to them or how really shitty their life was, I was only seeing this part, or does that make sense? And I started seeing all these other things. And so when I start getting into comparison, I remind myself, remember when you did that before, this person actually, you know, had the shittiest life on the other side, or had all these other things going on. So that's the only way I can, is basically in a sense, comparing myself again to somebody else, I suppose, that, you know, they had a shittier time. I mean, that sounds really bad.
Well,
but
can I frame it in a way that doesn't, that takes that out of it? It's like we're comparing to not the real story.
Right.
We're comparing to a facade. It's not the whole story, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I don't do social media, but for this purpose, because of the comparison, right? Mm-hmm. You only see the pretty pictures on Facebook and whatever, the Instagram, or right, you don't see what's really underneath the surface of what's going on for those people. And so that's where, you know, you find out that that person that has that big beautiful house and all those toys is actually in thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. You know, that's, yeah, anyway.
Thank you, Brenda.
I actually just saved a photo with our posting world in mind that says, don't let Instagram fool you. Oops. Ah, sorry. There are people with only 3 to 9 likes who have plenty of friends. People with 100 plus likes who are lonely in life. Couples who look so happy together yet are miserable as hell. Couples who don't post pictures together but are beautiful, loving, but are in beautiful, loving relationships. People who know each other very well, but appear as strangers. People who are up to their neck in debt, yet appear to live lavishly on Instagram. Remember, this is not real life. Appearances are just that, appearances.
Yes.
How timely. So,
yeah, I just literally yesterday said that. So it was really funny that we were talking about that. But I'll also add that I think, for me, the older I get, the less I care, you know, what other people are doing or really what other people think. And it just has to keep, it always comes back to what I am saying to myself. So it's easy to go, like you're saying, Kathleen, it's almost like I jump into another comparison when you start thinking about what does that person have going on in their life, right?
Right. Right.
Kind of justifying it. And for me, I have to just keep coming back to, it really matters what messages I'm saying when I look in the mirror every day, or when I blow up my kid and I swore I wasn't going to do that anymore. Like it comes back to what is running through my head in that moment. And that to me has more power than worrying too much about what is going on for everybody else. If that makes sense.
Yes. And Brenda, that's perfect, because when you asked that question, what do you do? I have found it useful for me over the last few years. When I realized that, has to do with parenting, you know, it was really easy to compare myself as a parent, like, I'm not doing as good a job at parenting as they are. And it all came down to judgment of myself. And so when I get into that rut, I discover like, oh, I'm never going to be able to teach this. You know, I'm not going to sound that way, or I'm not going to be able to lead a meditation, or in this particular context, I go right back to that, like, oh, you're judging yourself. This is not about the other person. This is letting go of judgment of myself. Mm-hmm. And I completely can let go of the story about anybody else and what their life is like, and just like go right back in and say, oh, what is inside of you that, what is inside of me that needs a little soothing?
Oh yeah.
Needs some attention, mm-hmm. or just let go of self-judgment. Cause in the end, I feel like that's what it all is. It's all self-judgment.
Right. Thank you.
That's what I've been using over the last few years of like, okay, I feel like I know that feeling. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. It's judgment about myself.
Yeah.
Sorry. Were you going to say something, Brenda?
No, I was just agreeing.
Yeah.
She more eloquently said what I was trying to say.
I feel the exact same way, that it's always about like the dialogue I'm having with myself. But the thing I found that helps me, like after that realization, that next step for me is, lately, it's been trust. If I can trust the universe, I'm part of the universe. So I can trust my path, the only path. Right. And for me, it's just like that trust over and over and over again, and trusting that I'm a part of everything, and every step of my path is a part of that too.
Just as you are. Yeah. You don't have to be anybody else or like anybody else, just as you are.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it also goes back to self-judgment, and one of the greatest gifts is that helped me with it is, I look at every single one of you, or I mean, a lot of people that I get to know a little better, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is such a perfect being, and then I hear that you're not satisfied with your perfectness perceived by me. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how is it possible that you don't see the beauty that you are and the gifts? Oh. And then I turn it around. Well, I'm probably doing the same thing. and then I kind of go, well, that's the mind is going to do it. And I'm just going to let it do it. I mean, not that I let it do it, but I'm not that attached to the idea that I'm not good enough. Right. That I'm compare myself as I'm not as good as the other person. And, Kriyananda, he gave this example when he talked about comparing yourself. He said, and especially women do it, you know, You take this woman's eyes, this woman's breasts, this woman's legs, you know, like all the best pieces, right, that you find in 15 other women. And you're like, well, I'm miserable, right? It's like, so it goes back to that whole story, seeing the whole picture. And one more thing that also from him helped me, he talked about some erroneous beliefs that we have. And one of them was that we believe we have to be competent in everything. And this is just silly. So that's what helps me.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brené Brown, I know she's not like a yogi, but she said, you don't have to show up in every arena, right? Mm-hmm. What really helped me with this comparison, because this is all I do, especially homeschooling, and everything is compared. That's the measure. And it was just everybody's here working out their own karma. And then the other thing is that when Karen's had some very hard talks with me, and I've resisted, but I know it's true. What is it triggering in me? What is triggering in me in everything, even driving, in comparison, in hurts, in someone even violently hurting, like what is still being triggered in me? And I ask that question and I come up with the most, it's like, that's the core. That's why I'm reacting. That's why I'm seeing the world this way. That's why I'm worrying about this. That's why that person's pissing me off, because really it is what is being triggered in me, and it's my own karmic experience that I'm experiencing. And I just have to remember that. And that's really hard, you know?
So what do you think, Laura? How was that?
That was helpful. I should spend more time thinking about it instead of zooming past.
Well, be gentle. Okay. Be gentle, right? Mm-hmm. And it's more, I think we need to know how to spend time with it, right? Because otherwise we can spend time with it, and if zooming past helps you not sink under the weight of the comparison, then that's a smart survival strategy.
Yeah.
Right? At the same time, with everything you're learning, there's more skill now to be able to actually look at it and go, oh, wow, look at how inadequate I'm feeling right now. Isn't that interesting? You know, is this true? Mm-hmm. Am I inadequate? As Agnieszka said, well, I may not be the best baker of chocolate chip cookies in the neighborhood, but, you know, I'm not the best baker of chocolate chip cookies in the neighborhood, but I like my chocolate chip cookies. And there we are, just that, right?
Or you can just say, I like hers better, and so now I don't have to cook them.
Said a woman with 8 kids. Yes, one more thing off the table. Brenda, yeah.
Well, and I was going to say too that for me, what has really helped is not necessarily spending time thinking about it in that moment, but the more subtle changes, like Karen has given me, you know, just some guidance in daily meditation, or, you know, just the thing we're doing with the free of suffering, like some of those kind of repetitive things that you just kind of build into your experience. I really feel like those are shifting that without having to be in this like analytical, what am I worried about right now? Like the kind of moment. So I don't know if that helps at all, but a little more subtle shifts.
Will you give some examples of what you mean? I missed the beginning.
Brenda, she would you be willing to share with Kelsey what you did at the moms about that subtle shift? Is that what you're talking about? That subtle shift?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The story that I shared about with my mom and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah. How that, it was a subtle, it was, yeah.
Yeah, so we, and I think all the groups are doing that, right, Karen? The,
yeah.
The free of suffering thing, right? Yeah. So the first week that we did it, I was kind of like, okay, this is kind of weird, and it felt really uncomfortable. But just even that first day, I got through the, we were doing the mala, the wrist mala, and I got through it, and I felt something was different, you know, after doing that, that like, oh, I have been asking for my mom to be free of suffering. And I was really able to that day internalize that I also want to be free of the suffering of whatever that was, the worrying, the caretaking, the, you know, the stress that it was putting on me. And so, I don't think it's coincidence that it was like a week later and I was getting the calls that, you know, to come over and be by her bedside and, you know, all of that. And so that, and we kept doing that experience during that. So I just, I don't know. It was really hard to explain on Monday. It's still really hard to explain. But also working in, just in my own meditation, some gratitude. You know, I was having, I'm still struggling and having a lot of issues with body image. And so Karen had me doing some things with, you know, putting in, just starting every day with, you know, thank you body for helping me stand up, or, you know, just the small little gratitude pieces. And it is shifting it differently than me worrying and analyzing and, you know, so does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
I was going to mention something too that, and I don't know if this is, you know, I may not get this exactly right. I said something to my husband last night, actually. We were talking about, like, sometimes when you just like ruminate over something, you're like, oh, you know, you just get caught up in this thought and like, you just want to move past it, or you're, and we were talking about the fact that sometimes when you've done a lot of this work and, like, okay, well, I've done the work and why is this still coming up, that sometimes it's just the need to say stop. It's like that lesson, that teaching where you can just say, okay, stop. I know what this is. This is just a thought. This is an old pattern. It's because I lived with this patterning for so long that it just wants to test to see if it's still there. And so we were talking about that, like, if you just can say, you know, if I can say, oh, I see you, knock it off. And then in that moment, it's not that I'm suppressing anything. I'm just saying, oh, yeah, I know you. Hi, old friend, and knock it off. And then it was like, it's that moment of like, oh, our subconscious will listen to us. Like, our brain will listen when we can do that. Like, oh, just knock it off. And then there's a shift. It's like, oh, okay, I can move on. So there's this, I think that technique is useful when, I'm not sure how to say when it's useful. I just know it for myself. You know, when I'm like, oh, I have been working on this. I don't need to listen to that anymore. I can say, knock it off, stop, and just move on. So I don't know if that applies here, but I thought.
I just realized that I've been doing that, April. So thank you.
So I'm going to just give you, this is the one to do it. Because we don't want to suppress. We don't want to ignore. We don't want to do anything that's pushing it aside, right? Or down or numbing out. However, so if it is a thought, if it's an old thing, it's like, as April said, some people are like, oh, I know you. I recognize you. But it's like the little dog that just won't stop nipping at your heels, right? And sometimes you just need to go, stop. Stop. And you might find, this isn't for everybody, but for some of you, that you will be in a dream. And an instant in the dream will come up, and in the dream you're gonna go, stop. And it stops.
Thank you.
That's when you know you've gone deep underneath. And lots of times, So watch for those moments in your dreams is what I'm saying. Because when it's like April said, it's, this is a pattern. You see it, you know it, you don't hate it, you understand it, you've looked at it, you've done all that, and here's that thought back again. And we get to just go, and you know, like in Love Actually, you know, like Love Actually, where he signs, held something, goes, enough. No, he's done all the signs and he's walking away and he just goes, enough. Right? It's enough. We're done. That's what you're saying. And then what, if you're lucky, there will be a symbol in your dreams. In fact, there will be a symbol in your dreams. It's just whether we remember it or not. And when you see that symbol in your dreams, you know it's complete. Mm. You know it's complete. It's kind of a cool little, and I don't know why I brought that up. So maybe somebody's doing dream work right now, but Lisa.
I have actually done that. When my first husband left, I was just plagued with dreams of spirits at my windows and just evil intent at my windows. And I just couldn't sleep. And eventually in my dreams, I had to address and see him and look at him instead of run. You know, there's a lot of young in there, but whatever. it does work. It does work. And then one time I was plagued with my dreams of how my husband was cheating on me. And I had to consciously go into my dreams and say, okay, if this is real, tell me. If not, stop, you know. And I was able to distinguish between the different dreams that were real and the ones that were not, and how they show up differently. And so it's real true. But my question is, I can do that in a certain state of dream, but now I'm waking up out of dreamland, not knowing what I've dreamt, but scared, in a panic, you know, heart racing, can't get back to sleep. And I don't know if that's just physiology, you know, like in my body, or if it's in my brain. And I don't know how to get to that place to say stop, to be there, to, now I sent all my people off. I'm a little worried.
So that I actually am doing the dreams class that I've been promising for years. I'm doing that in, I don't remember, February. I think we started in February. And so we'll go way more in depth in it. But so all I would say is it's not physiological. It is a dream. We're not remembering it. So the first thing is just, see if you can, when you wake up, or when you just jot down at least a word or two, to start bringing the dreams back. Because to stop it in the dream, the requirement is that we're lucid. We're aware. It's like we're aware we're in the dream. We're aware we can say stop, and we do it that way. That's kind of the key little connector. So you know it works. You've done it. So at this point, it's about bringing the dream back enough so that you can bring the threads back, be lucid in the moment is the technical term. Yeah.
I'm not there. It's gone. It's just a panic in my body that I don't even have words. My eyes aren't open. I feel this sensation flood my body, and then I become conscious, and I don't know what it was that triggered me.
So you deal with the physiological response, toggle. Right brain, left brain, right brain, left brain. Literally do what we did in the RIPA class, the Live Without Anxiety class, and just start doing that. Toggle back and forth. Bring yourself up to the prefrontal cortex. I still love this one, you know, where we're like, it's just, I love it laying down, and it's on my left ankle is over my right, right? So left ankle is over right is over left, right? So we've got the different meridians crossing, and I lay there in bed like this. I just love it. I just love it. So Lisa, that's the gift, right? It's a moment to regulate the physical body. Yeah. Good awareness. Okay. All right. Well, here's what I think I'd like to do, since we've just been talking about dreams, subconscious symbols, things like that. Let's talk about the symbology of the two meditations. Find your symbol and the surrender to mystery, because there's a patterning being used here that I was taught and I find very effective. And so I want to give you that patterning. I don't have it written down because I wasn't planning on doing this. So let's start with this. When you're fresh in a meditation with somebody and you're asking them to find a symbol, and the reason for the symbol is to go into the meditation that we did, right? Where we go from the sun center out 45 degrees, which those of you who've done the solstice meditation, this is the technique we use for solstice, right? And then we bring the symbol back. When we're doing, finding a symbol for that technique, the first thing you want to do is ask people to find the color that goes with the symbol. So we don't even have a symbol yet. All we know is we've got a problem, a situation, a feeling. First we find a color. And we want to make sure people have a color because the color is important when we're when we're bringing the symbol back. The first thing that's going to peek through is the color. Okay. So color, and then give it a shape. It has a color and it has a shape. And we just kind of let the shape evolve. For some people, like April, it'll be a circle. It'll be a disc that's, you know, pulsing pink. For somebody else, it might take the shape of a lock and a key. That's a fairly common one, right? Okay, so hang on. Hey, whoa. The way we use this meditation, we use the meditation to release things and to bring in new things. The one we did was Surrender to Mystery. We have what we're releasing is the basket full of people. So in this meditation, I've given you the symbol that you are releasing. The patterning of this meditation is that you find the symbol for what you're going to release and the symbol for what you're going to bring back. Am I making sense? So we also want whatever it is we're releasing. Say we're releasing anger. What's the color? What's the shape? Color, black, red, you know, something. Shape, jagged, flame, something will come to people's mind. And our job as leading the meditation is to stay as neutral as possible, which is why we literally just say color and shape. Okay? Does that make sense? And this is where we ask people to just be totally open to whatever arises and not to question it. So Kathleen, when you were doing yours today, you used the word ridiculous, which I understand the concept behind it. We just want to be really careful that we don't put those kind of words in to the meditation, even though that's what people are thinking. Oh, this is ridiculous. We phrase it as just take whatever comes, just take whatever comes. Okay. And sometimes it seems ridiculous. Sometimes it seems ludicrous, right? But we keep it neutral. Take whatever comes. And so we're doing the same thing with what we're releasing and the same thing with what we're going to bring back, color and shape. That makes sense? Pretty simple. Now, what's the color? Let's say the color of anger is, I think, see it as red, but the symbol actually becomes like a bomb, you know, like a bomb with a little fuse on it. And it's black. That's okay. You can hold both. Are you following me? You can hold both. Because what's going to happen, the patterning for the meditation now is this. Whatever we want to release, we start it right out here outside the sun center. And then Kriyananda was very clear, send it up at 45 degrees. 45 degrees up and out, as far, Kelsey did a lovely job of past the galaxies, past, you know, as far as you can. And then what we do is we take it so far, and then the key phrase, we take it so far, and then just a little bit further. So we're stretching it just a little bit more, and then we disappear it into the void. That's what you're doing. You're taking this symbol that has all of the energy, carries all the energy, and you're sending it off, you're disappearing it into the void. And then you determine how long you need to wait before you bring the next one back. If you're doing something like this on a daily basis, like we might do around solstice, it's like it might go out with the exhale and symbol comes in with an inhale. You doing it for yourself, you get to go, okay, let that go. Sometimes I send it out there and I just need to rest for a moment. And then when I'm ready, you inhale and one more thing. As it's getting tinier and tinier, all you can see is the speck of color, which is why it's important that we set them up, that they know there's a color that goes with this. So even though the color is red and the bomb is black, as it's getting closer and closer, all I can see is the red color. Are you following me here? Okay, so just the tiniest little speck is gone into the void. When we bring it back, we bring back the speck of color of the new symbol.
It's a new symbol.
Huh?
That was my question. So you send that one out and then a new symbol is supposed to come back.
A new symbol, which we have also, before we do this meditation, we create both symbols. So okay. Before you actually do this part, you have to have both your symbols.
Okay.
So you will get in there and you'll go, okay, this is what I'm releasing. That's a symbol for that. Okay. This is what I'm creating. That's a symbol for that.
Okay.
Now I'm giving you this patterning, but generally when I did these with Kriyananda, he gave us a symbol that we were releasing, or he would give us a symbol we were bringing back. It was rare that we had to come up with both symbols. And this is more like what we do at the solstice, but I'm using this to show you the pattern. Lisa, yeah.
Well, I'm back to your bomb analogy with the red. That sounds so simplistic and like clip art to me. My symbol was like, I was physically watching my physical body put another physical body of myself in there. But when you looked at that physical body, it was like those pictures that are made up of all those other little tiny pictures. Mm. But it encompassed like 25 years of anger, 33 years of, is that way crazy?
No.
And the colors the color that comes back is, I don't have a color. It's iridescent. It's different. I don't have
this
a color.
This is in no way taking away anything from the experience you had with Kelsey's meditation was complete. What I'm giving you now is I'm breaking down, actually it's the first time I've ever done this. I'm giving you the structure of the meditation so you can understand. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm giving you the structure. And there will be times where if this one with the basket, everything you just said is beautiful. Exactly. Put it all in there. But we also use the basket meditation with our kids. I mean, I use it with my kids. We do it with the teens group. You know, put all your worries, put everything in this basket. And that point, we usually just send it up, straight up. Because this technique of taking a symbol and sending it out 45 degrees, so you just see the color and then you disappear it. Then you just bring back the speck of the new and you bring the new back in. This is a very, very powerful working with the subconscious. It's what Brenda was saying. It's working underneath the layers, which is why we use it at the solstice, because the solstice, it's in that pause. It's in that period where there's all of the power of that is available to us. It's not being pulled on by other forces. So this is a great, if it's like Lisa, like you said, you take that feel as an example, you take that feeling of that panic when you wake up, right? And you sit in your meditation and you say, okay, what is the color of that? And I'm going to give it, give me a color, Lisa, would you? Just to help me through this.
It's spiky.
Spiky. Let's make a spiky, icy color. Give me a color. Okay.
It's like a probably metal.
Okay.
Metallic.
Spiky metallic. Okay. And the feeling I want is what? What's the feeling you want?
Soft.
Soft.
Like, yeah, like those soft blankets. I have those. I put them around my face at night.
Okay. So we'll just make in my mind now each of you will do this in your mind, right? And there's no right symbol here. But in my mind, my image is of this blanket that's just kind of unfolded and it's just waiting there and it's just soft and foldy and it's warm and it's this kind of creamy white color. Okay. So creamy white is the color and this soft, soft folded enveloping shape. Right? With me? So what I do now is I take my metal spiky and I send it out to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller till it's just a speck and it's just this glinting metallic that's all I can see. And I push it and I push it until I really can't. And then I still push it just a tiny bit more. That part's important. Just the tiniest bit more and then boom. Into the darkness. And then when I'm ready, with an inhale, I bring back the other with just a speck of that creamy white. And then I bring it down. It gets bigger and bigger until it comes here and it rests at my sun center. Okay? We got that part? So we're totally working subconscious now. And now is where, and this is different from the meditation you did. I'm teaching you a patterning. Now is where I take it and I lift it up over my head. Some of you will recognize this as the rotation over my head. And then I stay outside my body. I go over the moon center, down past the throat chakra, and I stay outside going past the heart, the solar plexus, the lower back and the tailbone. And then I bring it up through the center of my spine, up past the water chakra, up through the navel, the solar plexus area, up through the heart center, up through the throat, and I bring it up to the sun center. So what I've done now mystically is I have imprinted every chakra, every pole of every chakra with this new pattern. And the symbol, as I hold the symbol at each chakra level, and if you have time, just hold it there for a second. Just hold it at each chakra level. All of the energy, the darshan of that symbol is being absorbed into that chakra. And so we're shifting ourselves at a deeper subconscious level. And then what I tend to do is I bring it, I've completed the rotation, and then I just bring the symbol back into my heart so that I have a sense that I'm carrying it with me all day long. So that's the patterning of a very powerful technique, a mystical technique handed down from my guru, to me, now to you, to be used wisely. I mean, I didn't teach it for years and years and years and years after I first received it. You use it first. Okay. And then, and discover how it works for you to heal on that much deeper level, as Brenda was saying. And I forgot where I was going to go. Questions.
I took my blanket and I took it down around my body and it just felt so warm and soft and it softened the spikies like a, you know, puffer fish deflating. But when it went up, it's like all of a sudden I had all these little tiny flickers, like glitter of visions of when I made a good dinner for myself, or I felt good in the sun, or that mocha turned out just right. Or like, it's just like, as it was coming up, it was like wiping the edges of the straw and getting those little flakes that were missing. And it just came up and brought to remember. I don't know. It was kind of cool.
And thanks for sharing that, Lisa, because what's important when we're working with a subconscious technique like this, we don't try and just accept it. It's like, that was the perfect reaction. Wow, that was kind of cool. And that's all we need. It's all we need. You know, it's working underneath. It's our symbol, so we can trust it. It's not a symbol somebody else gave you. It's your symbol for something you want to create in your life. Does that make sense? So you can trust the symbol. And it's, yeah, so thank you. Good point. So we don't go, it's just, oh, that's interesting. Moving right along. Laura, yeah. Or who else? Somebody else? More questions about this? I'm going to tell you this. I am not going to write this technique down. This is a mystical technique that was handed down to me. And it's, I don't feel right writing it down. I don't think it's the kind of technique that should be written down. No, you can write it in your notes, but I'm not going to put it in print. I'm not going to put it on a handout and give it to you. Because this isn't that kind of a technique. This is a technique that goes from his lips to my ears, my lips to your ears, your lips, after you've used it and you understand the power of it. Someday it will go from your lips to somebody else's ears. Does that? Yeah. Agnieszka. Yeah.
How do you know, I mean, that you can move on to the next issue you want to release and bring something, you know, like you, let's say I'm working on unworthiness, bringing in the symbol of truly, completely accepting myself. At what point I can move on to the next thing?
Okay, I'm going to give you two answers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you Kriyananda's, I think, answer and my answer. I encourage you to take Kriyananda's answer. I am not at the top of the best disciple list. I consider myself a bit of I don't know. I'm not the, you know, orthodox disciple. His answer would be you stay with it until it's resolved. You, one thing only, hold that. If that's what you're working, just keep working with that. Keep working with that until the day you feel worthy. And then you move on to the next one. Because even though we think things aren't connected, okay, today I'm like, no, I really need to work on discipline. It's like, no, stay with worthy. Stay with worthy. That's his answer. And it really is the right answer. Okay. My answer is, if in this moment I feel I need something else, it's kind of like, you know, I'm out on my day doing something, and all of a sudden I've been drinking tea, but I really feel like I need a cup of coffee right now because I need that extra boost. Well, I'm going to have a cup of coffee. And yes, I'm going to do another meditation with that, because that's just how my mind works. So I hope I made it really clear. Kriyananda's is the official answer, and he's right. And then I gave you the example of the, okay, but this is how I've modified it and interpreted to work with my personality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying, you know, if you have a headache, yes, look for the cause of the headache by take a aspirin. Now
I'm still taking aspirin, exactly. Exactly.
So thank you. That's helpful.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
And I love that you bring everything back to that self-trust. It's so freeing, and thank you.
Isn't it though?
Yes.
See, and this is what I feel Kriyananda gave me, but it took Anna and Harvey in Houston modeling each person having their experience and them showing us how not to compare. It's for me, it's taken both of these to get it across to me how important it is to realize we really, the teacher's inside. It's right here. It's right here. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little thick. Took me a while. Because I know he says it all the time, you know? But it's so. Somebody else. And this is a really powerful technique. So look at it. Imagine yourself doing it. And if you have any questions, this is your moment. Yeah, Kelsey.
At the beginning,
mm-hmm.
when you're finding your two symbols, the one of the symbol you're trying to release and the one of the symbol you're wanting to pull back, can you just review again, like, that process of, like, we're starting here and then we're switching here? I got the, like, what we're doing with it part, but just that beginning piece of, like, okay, we're starting with this symbol, now we're thinking of this symbol.
So if we're doing something like this, it's because we have a specific intention to transform something at a deeper level.
Okay.
Let's start there. Okay. So at that point, I would say to myself, and this isn't a technique that you use. I mean, this is a technique you use. I mean, I use it at the solstice mainly, and I have my symbol and that's what I, but I do use it at other times. So that said, if the intention is to transform something, then I sit and I'm very aware of what I'm trying to release. And I make sure that I'm really aware of what I want to replace it with. So we need to have those things ahead of time, right? That's, or when you sit to meditate, clarify those thoughts. And they don't have to be perfectly exactly right, because the beauty of the subconscious is start with something and it will shift it. Like I might have wanted to start with a bomb, the clip arty kind of thing. But as the image moved, it really just became a fuse that was just burning. It's just this burning fuse. It's like the image evolves, the symbol evolves, and we trust that part. Okay. So it doesn't have to be perfect is what I'm trying to say. So I say, okay, I'm this is how I want to get rid of my anger. I want to use, this is, well, what I would do is I would go into meditation. I go, okay, I really want to get rid of this feeling inside me. What's the color of it? And I wait. Hopefully it comes like this, but sometimes it takes, you know, a minute or so. And if nothing comes, then just take something. Take the trite answer, right? Red. And then I look for a shape. And shape is a very generic word. So it could be a three-dimensional shape. It could be a live-action little movie going on in your head. It could be like in yours. What I ended up with was like this naturally formed heart out of stone that was in the riverbed with other rocks with water running over it. You know, but it's just that little part of the movie with the water. But it's a movie. It's a little movie. That's my symbol, right? So shape is a really broad term to allow a lot of space for everybody to come up with theirs. I've heard other people do meditations where they'll use the word image. And to me, that conjures up something too tight. Because image to me is a two-dimensional image. So shape, and then you can give yourself time. Let the shape take form. Let it evolve. Let it grow. Let it turn into something, however you want to say it. And so that's how I get those symbols. And then I just do the same thing with what do I want? First, you feel the feeling. You sit there and you just feel. Here's, as Lisa said, I just want to feel that easy, soft gentleness. And I feel that feeling. And then I ask, what is the color? And I let I let my subconscious tell me, what is the shape? My subconscious, Lisa, so it was this beautiful warm blanket, right? I just see sheepskin and soft, right? And so that's how we, that, does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. All right. April.
Find those symbols and then you take, and then from there.
From there, you start the actual meditation piece, which is, you know, then you then it's almost like you need a break right here, because now you're finding the symbols is going deep into meditation and letting your subconscious talk to you. Now you're performing a ritual.
Okay.
When we start this process, so it's like we sit, you might even want to do a resurrection breath.
Okay.
And we bring the symbol to mind that we're releasing. And it doesn't take a long time. It's the intensity and the focus. And you just, you send it out. As Kelsey was so beautifully excited, just releasing, feeling it, letting go. And then just send it out as far as you can. And then I love that. And then just a little bit more, a little further. And then bring it back. Just a speck of color. And it comes down. And as I think, Kelsey, you did this when you did the meditation, it's like we could feel it. You can just feel the adhikara, the blessing of this feeling coming down. And we let it fill us. And when we rotate it around our chakric, the spinal column and the chakric tree, we really are imprinting. So this moment when you're going around, it's fine to take a little time and just feel it, because each chakra is encoding it in a different part of your life, a different part of your karma.
So if I'm getting this, it almost seems like you're taking the one I did and the one Kelsey did, and it's basically putting it all together.
Yes.
As one in a sense.
Yeah. Yours is the prelude, because
right.
You need the symbols.
Right.
And Kelsey's is the meditation. And
right.
It is a version of what I just gave you is the patterning.
Okay.
That can be used with, like, she gave us the symbol of the basket, right?
Right.
Sometimes Kriyananda would give us a shape, or he would give us a...
I got it.
Different thing.
Okay. So she gave us that symbol, and then we already had our symbol from the previous...
From you.
It's a couple different ways is what you're basically...
Okay. Yes.
You can give them one of the symbols and then their symbol. Okay. Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So to repeat what Kathleen just said. So the meditations you just did, finding your symbol is that first part we did where we find the symbol that we're going to be using in the meditation. Since we already knew that I was in the meditation and giving you the symbol of what to release, all you needed to find was a symbol of what you want to bring back. The feeling of being comfortable with mystery. Okay? But to do the meditation, you need two symbols. Something to release, something to replace it with. And so then... Well, yeah. So there is. Does that answer? Yeah.
That's for me.
Okay. Good. I like the way your mind kind of. See, I take these things for granted. I thank you, Kathleen. For April.
So my question is, and I had gotten that it's like we've got, you know, finding your symbol, and then you're using the symbol in surrender to mystery, right? In that process. And my question is the other meditations that we were been working with through in this little series, are they like, is there a real intent? There must be obviously a real intention to leading up to that with, you know, releasing your agenda. It is what it is. Those two specifically, like,
is there a pattern in that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. And then of course there's holding center after that, right? And so can you talk a little bit about the specifics of why that is you know, is that how you were taught it? Is that a traditional?
No, there's nothing traditional. It was just, that was the way the class, when I developed the class.
Okay.
That's, we started with the easiest thing, which is, I think it is what it is. And then the next thing, okay, we've got to release our agenda before we can surrender to mystery. So it's more like, we need to start here, then we can go here, then we go here, and then surrender to mystery. That's the big scary one, right? And then I believe after that is holding center.
Yeah, you have it as the outlines for this is body scan, evening relaxation, releasing your agenda.
Oh, that came first?
Uh-huh. It is what it is. Finding symbol, surrender, and hold center.
Yeah.
Okay.
And keep in mind, this was a class, I think it was a 6-week class. Some of them were not meditators. Some were. So the first thing we have to do is just get them in their body, get them aware, relax them, right? And then, so we started with body scan. And what was the next one?
Evening relaxation.
Yeah, to relax our bodies. Because we can't go anywhere when our body is tight like this, right? Which is why asana is we need asana before we can meditate, right? We've got to find some kind of awareness of the body so that we can find some stillness to experience a sensation. And the first level of sensation is physical. It's like Jeremy so beautifully, you know, well, there's no tightness in my body. Well, we know there's tightness in his body. He just doesn't know there's tightness in, and I'm not saying this in any judgment way. I mean, I've been there too. It's like, what do you mean tight in my body? I have a body. It has sensations. You know, when you spend your whole life hating your body and, you know, just numbing out and trying to ignore it, it's not talking to me. So I had to learn that. So that's just a very quick way of like body scan. Okay, there's a body here. It's a tool. Let's relax it. And then obviously, so that's what it was from. It was purely a progression I put together for a class I was teaching.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, but it makes sense because I would think in order to find your symbol, you know, that's a deep and rich and sacred technique. And same with, you know, surrender to mystery. So to get there, you kind of need a little bit of, you know, background.
Same thing, April.
Yeah.
There was a science behind it because it made sense when we were doing it as homework as we went through.
Yeah.
And keep in mind when you're in a class, when you start talking about release your agenda, the intimacy immediately, because we're here because we're stressed. Mm-hmm. So we're already vulnerable. Now we're opening up about what is stressing us and what are the agendas? Well, the agenda is never what's on the surface, right?
Right.
The agenda is I don't want to be hurt. I want things my way. The agenda is I'm terrified. Those are right. And so we've opened up into a deeper level. So by the time we get to the surrender to mystery, we've touched that world.
Yeah.
We're not up here in surface. We're not just in body scan anymore.
Right. Right.
We're not in Kansas anymore. You know, we're not in body scan anymore. You know?
And I guess that's it is that I'm fascinated by the fact that, you know, this takes some working up to get to it because it takes you to such a vulnerable place. And how you're able to do it, like at the solstice, you know, like, and sometimes it's people, like you said, sometimes people who haven't maybe meditated before and they're like, ooh, I want to try that, you know, but you go to that place and how you get there. I mean, it's a longer, it's like an hour and a half or something, right?
Oh, it's 2.5 hours now.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a while, but like the skill that's needed to take somebody that maybe is you don't even know who this person is. You don't know their background, their history, their, you know, of meditating to be able to go through that. And it's just fascinating to me that I guess that's where the skill comes in.
Well, but also, you know, this is where it's like, we're not doing this by ourselves. These techniques work because of the technique, not because of the person guiding them, mm-hmm. right? And so, which is why, so if you're coming in and you've used the technique and it's worked for you, you have some energy on it, right? Yeah. And yeah. to help transmit it, but the technique itself works. And so what helps is when people show up for the solstice meditation where we do this, and we do it quickly. We don't spend a long time on it, right? It's quick. Yeah. But there's a whole room or Zoom room full of people who've done it, who yeah. are helping carry the energy. So the whole, everything we do ahead of time, all of that, making our lists, looking at our goals, all that is all just softening the ground. So when we get there, we can go quickly without yeah. having the whole teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. I'm also just thinking about that, what you said. I so appreciate what you said that, you know, we don't teach these until we have experienced them, until we feel them. And you've even said that before in the past. Like there's certain techniques that you don't teach, not because they don't work or because you don't know them, but because you're not at that place, you know, with that particular technique yet. Mm-hmm. And I just love that sense of like, okay, that permission to say like, oh, I don't need to, we're learning these, but until it's mine, I'm not going to teach it. I don't have to teach that. And I won't teach that until this, I still have some work to do here. You know, I know for myself with the finding my symbol and feeling that it working on that deeper level. So I won't teach it until I know it, that it's working. Even if it is working, but.
Which hang on everybody. So with everything April said, yes, everything I said, yes. And if you are in a situation and somebody comes up to you and says, I'm just like imploding here. I don't know what to do. Blah, 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 blah. And it comes into your head. Then you trust that.
Yeah.
And you share it.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
If it comes into your head and it's a technique you've never done, you want to think about because you may not have it all together, right? But if it comes into your head and it's one you have been doing or you've done enough in the past, you don't have to have done it last week. I mean, forgiveness ritual, oh my gosh, you know, it had been a year one time and somebody needed it but it was right there because I'd done it enough. Are you following me?
Yeah.
It just have it part of you at some point, and then it just becomes part of your little toolbox. It's like we all have our little things. I think we're getting close to time. So is there any last question or comment before we end this most marvelous day? Well, then let's end with an Om Shanti and just a true appreciation for the beauty of each one of you. Such an incredible contributor, an important piece of all we're doing. So let's find our seat. Soften into the body, soften into the moment. Actually, let's just do a couple of these. Inhaling, grounding in your seat. Exhaling, breath lifts and rises. As you're inhaling, breath is coming through the nostrils, prana through the moon center. As you're exhaling, breath comes out the nostrils, prana out the sun center. And with your next two breaths, bring the breath up into the heart. So you inhale into the heart. Exhaling from the heart. Just a couple more breaths right here in the heart center. And then release the technique. Just notice the sensation in the heart, whatever openness is there from this beautiful morning together, from the little technique we just did. And very gently, like that that blanket that Lisa described. Let your right hand gently, gently come to your heart center. Feel the gentle touch. Inhaling, feeling it. Feel the hand there as you exhale. Soften and accept. Soften and accept. And then same thing with the left hand, gently, tenderly, kindly, left hand touches the right. And let's three times say loud enough for our hearts and our minds to hear, may I be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering. May I be free. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from suffering. And let's, if we can, let's just keep our hands here and let's bring this aspiration, this feeling into our shantis. And you know the drill, I don't need to say it. First shanti fills you, second shanti you send to each other, third shanti you expand your awareness to feel all of the blessings coming to you, even as you're sending out the shanti, okay? Inhale. Oh, shanti. The gentle smile. Shanti. Shanti. May we be blessed. May we be blessed. And may we be triply blessed so that we may be an even greater blessing to others. Namaste, beautiful ones. Namaste. I have no words. You are, I can't even tell you. I feel like sometimes I say too much, but I am so honored and lucky to be part of this group. You're amazing. Amazing, amazing. All right, loves. Well, have a lovely week. And, oh no, I see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we move into Tung Glen and we're talking about our classes. Okay. Oh, okay. I'll see you tomorrow. Nobody has to give a meditation tomorrow, so you can all enjoy yourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Have a great day.